Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Relationship Theory. I'm your co-host, Tom Bilyeu, and I am here with my beloved wife, Lisa.
What's up, babe?
What is up?
I'm a little emotional.
Bless you. So we're going to be pressing pause on Relationship Theory for a while. So this will be the last episode for the foreseeable future. But we've got some cool things that we're working on that'll be taking its place. So
yeah, and so it's a full disclosure. We definitely would love to get back to it, and we're definitely hoping that we can at some point, hopefully somewhat soon.
Yeah, doing some channel restructuring. Yeah. So we will report back. But without further ado, let us get into those questions, homie.
Let's get into it. All right. So this episode, So this episode, we're talking about partners' love languages.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, love that Vanessa Van Edwards. If you haven't watched Captivate or read Captivate, I should say, you should definitely check that book out.
And we watch that Impact Theory episode.
Yeah. Oh, and soon to be Women of Impact
episode.
She was on. She's amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that one.
But that woman and her book was one of those books where it's like, we'd been together for so long and then we read it and we used it not only in the company but in our relationship, and it really did make a difference. Like, our love language now is, we understand, we've got dictionaries to each other's love languages, thanks to my girl Vanessa.
So, truth.
All right, so let's get to the first question.
Let's do it.
This is from Garrett. My wife and I have been married for 4 years with two young children and are currently separated. I allowed our relationship to erode by allowing my anxiety to control my actions. I neglected her top two love languages, physical touch, sex, she has a higher drive than me, and quality time, as in communication. I love her so much, but I've caused her so much pain. I want us to build an amazing life, fulfilling relationship, but I'm still stuck on what to do. How do I start from here? What should my strategy be?
Well, that's amazing that he wants to make up for that. And I think that if she's still willing to work in the relationship, then this is all good. He's aware that he's created the problem. He's aware that the anxiety was driving it. And if he understands what her love languages are, which it sounds like he does, then he's going to be able to take steps to communicate to her in a way that that are going to work for her, that she'll actually be able to hear. So what I would do is precisely this. I would pull her aside, sit her down and say, which is already good because she wants that time, quality time. So sitting her down, making time for that, no distractions, and say, look, I really feel like I've messed up. I feel like I have ignored your two love languages. I want to explain the reasons why, and I want to talk about what we can do together to make up for that. And I'm totally committed to this. I'm going to see this through. I love you. And then you do it as a partnership. And I think if he really includes her in that and seeks her feedback, that they're pretty simply, I won't say easily, but pretty simply going to be able to put a plan together that works for both of them to really begin to make this up. And when somebody has love languages that they understand, they've identified, you understand, you know how to make good on them, then it's just about follow through.
Yeah. Yeah, I say the proof is in the pudding. You know, it's like,
are we a little skeptical?
No, not at all. I just think that he can sit there and say to her as much, I love you, I'm going to change, like anybody, right?
It's
like,
that's so interesting. This is coming from a woman whose love language is not words of affirmation, which is exactly why you're like, well, you could say it all day. Whereas I'm like, for me, I'm like, I just want to hear it. Like, tell me all about it.
Well, because I'm, and maybe this actually comes back to the guy that I dated before you. So I was in a relationship, the only other relationship I was in, that lasted almost 4 years. And now look, I was very young. So it was like 15 to 19. But I heard every day, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm never going to do that again. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have kissed that girl. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Do you know what I mean?
That escalated quickly.
But that was, and I wanted so desperately to believe him that I did. And every time it was like, there was part of me that was like, he's going to change. He's going to be different. Like, he meant it. But like, our chemicals in our body are very powerful, right? So it's like, in that moment, he really did mean it. But a week or two down the line, he didn't stick to it.
Right.
So I'm really like, I would love to believe you. That sounds amazing. I really hope that's true. But only time can tell. Because in those moments where you're really tired, and in those moments where, so he said, they're currently separated, so he allowed it to erode their relationship. Like, what if, what happened that allowed him to erode it? Because those things will come up again. And when they come up again, is he going to slip back into old habits? Or is he going to remember that he had promised her that he's going to change, that he's going to be different?
Well, so let's dive into that. Because if he's doing it because it's what she wants, all hope is already lost. So this has got to be one of those things where his own value system, what he desires, is now taking precedence. So people are going to follow their values, their identity, their beliefs, like, period, simple as, like, what he actually wants in his life on a long enough timeline is going to win 1,000%. So the reason that I know that I'll always, there are definitely clearly going to be moments punctuated where something pulls me away from our relationship, I get too busy at work or whatever, but I know that I'll always write the course, is the thing that's most valuable to me is our marriage and the thing that brings me the most joy and all of that. So it's easy to know that I will come back and come back and come back to that. That's my true north. So whatever his true north is, and if he's letting his anxiety be his true north, then that's going to be the thing that ultimately wins out. But if his true north, and like, he really has woken up and realized that that's the thing that he wants most, and he understands how to align his values, he understands how to align his habits and routines, and has actually dealt with his anxiety, then he'll be able to get it together. My only question is, if they are separated, is she actually willing to work on it?
Yeah.
Because he's not going to be able to do this by himself. Yeah. So he's, that's like question number one that has to be answered.
Yeah. And I really think that, what do you think about people that say, like if she turned around and she's like, no, I don't want to work on it, would you suggest that he turned around and was like, okay, she said it, or would you try and fight for it?
Wow.
Because, like, they've got two young kids, and I'm just speaking for myself. I'd like to think that I'm articulate enough and...
Did I miss that they have two young kids?
Yeah.
Whoa.
They've got two young children. They've been married for 4 years. So... I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, let me jump on where you seemed like you were headed. Yeah, if he has two young kids, I would say in the most respectful manner humanly possible that he make overtures consistently to let her know that he's serious. Because if she's like, it's easy for you to say, but I don't know that you're actually going to follow through with this, he has to do it in a way that's respectful, because obviously we don't know the dynamic. We don't know if she's like, fuck off, I do not ever want to see you again.
Right, exactly.
So I'm way making assumptions here, but assuming that the relationship is still salvageable, assuming that there is a respectful way for him to approach her that's, you know, non-threatening or whatever, like that, yes, for sure, 1,000%. I would pursue you with consistency so that you understood that I was committed. But I know you so well. I know how I could do that in a way that would be received well.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. Like, if that happened, I'd like to think that I was able to say to you, look, I wish I could make this work. Like, I'm really hurt. I'm really upset. I wish there was a way right now. I don't have faith that you're actually going to follow through on it, because it's been way too many moments. But why don't we spend the next 6 months to a year and we can see how things go? I'm going to be open to it, but this is going to be, I don't want to say test, but this is going to be those moments where you're going to need to show me that you are committed, and it's going to be consistent, not just for a week, not just for 2 weeks, but every single month. But even just saying that, I think that once upon a time, the old me, and I'm sure there are a lot of women out there like this, that are going to test, right? Because, like, you don't want to get hurt again. So you say, like, no, this can't work. But secretly, part of you wants him to still pursue you. I know that I would have once upon a time have been that person. I think that to be able to get to the success that they're looking for, she should be open with him if she can be. But that was actually, I guess, my question. Like, what if you're not sure if I'm testing you or not?
Well, I think in this case, like, it's pretty fair to test in the sense of what you said, which is I need to see that you're going to be consistent. I need to see that you're going to follow this through. It's not advisable to do a secret test where it's like you're constantly setting them up to see like if they'll be able to do something, but you're not telling them that it's a big test. But saying to them up front, I have serious doubts that you're going to be consistent. Mm. And so I'm going to need to see you prove this over time, and letting them know up front what success looks like, letting them know what failure looks like, and then proceeding in that way if she wants to.
Yeah, I guess I was coming from like, what if the woman doesn't watch the show? She doesn't have a growth mindset, mm-hmm. or the partner, whoever the partner is. And they ask, they've said that they don't want me to pursue them.
I see what you're saying. Like that whole, like the very pursuit thing, they're saying, no, don't. But secretly they're like, yes, do.
Would you advise someone to try to still pursue, even if someone has said, please don't pursue me?
God, here's the, yes, that is the only honest answer.
Yeah, I was going to say
now,
yes.
Now, I am making so many assumptions that they're not a nut job, that they can be respectful, that they're able to pursue in a way that doesn't doesn't freak the other person out. I think that there are definitively ways, like I say it's the only honest answer because I would for sure with you, and I would pursue you in a way where you never felt uncomfortable. You may not want me to pursue you. So in that sense, like for sure, it reminds me, God, I'm playing so many emotions in my head. So when the song, Adele's song came out, and one of the lines is, I've called 1,000 times. And there
I've
was like
through the window or whatever.
I don't think it ever was quite that weird, but she's like, and people, there was like all this backlash, and they're like, I forget the exact words they were saying, but like that's like this totally dysfunctional relationship. And I thought, that's a bit exag. Like there's definitely, you can reach out, you can pursue somebody, you can be consistent, you can write letters, you can, try to talk to one of their family members and, ask them to help you facilitate, find a therapist. Like there are ways to do things to show your sincerity, to show that you really want to work through the issue, but it is all too easy to cross a line and become a psycho. Mm. So it's like when I give that advice, I'm making the assumption that they can actually read the situation and be empathetic enough to put themselves in their partner's shoes and be like, what would this overture look like? Would it feel overly aggressive? Would it feel domineering or aggressive? Like if you can play through that, then yes, there's a path and I would walk that path if it were me.
Word.
What about you?
Yeah, I would pursue you for sure. I would, at some point it would be tough for me to keep getting rejected because I don't think you would have that feeling, but I would
have the feeling.
Yeah, but it would be like rejected would then make me feel like I think that I'm not good enough. Like it would start to really mess with my self-esteem. And I don't know if it would with you. Like I could see myself at one point going, okay, this is bad. You're now starting to think badly of yourself and you've done everything you possibly can or I don't know. Like, and I would come to a point where I'd be like, I absolutely love you. I'm worked the last 3 months to really show you that I'm committed. But I do, at this point, I'm more than happy to keep going if you are interested, but it's getting to a point now where for my own self-worth, I'm going to need to stop. So this is going to be the last time that I reach out to you. Please do know that it means that I still love you and I am willing to work on it. But if you are not interested, then this will be the last time. So I would have to kind of put that because I just know myself well enough to know that that would start to erode my self-confidence.
Interesting. Yeah, I would see it more as a challenge, I think, there's a way for me to unlock this where she feels good. I'm finally able to get through what I'm trying to communicate. It's like in When Harry Met Sally, when he goes on the all out offensive to like sort of get her back to the discussion table, if you will. And he starts leaving like singing karaoke messages on her answering machine.
Yeah.
And, I would fall into that category.
Yeah. But I would only do it if I knew that I was the one that messed up the relationship.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Like, but I'd have to truly believe it. Like, I wouldn't apologize and I wouldn't want to change if I actually didn't, like, I wouldn't say, no, I'm going to change because I want to be with you. And really, I'm like, but I think I'm great, right. You know, or this part of my personality, I actually don't want to change. So changing it for somebody else, I think that just leads to disaster as well.
Yep.
Next All right. Up. Next question. This is from Derek. I'm currently in a long distance relationship with my girlfriend about 3.5 hours away. So we see each other about 1 weekend a month. Oof. Once she graduates, she will be moving to my city and probably moving in with me. Do you have any advice for when we move in together? As far as strategies to handle the integration of two lifestyles and nuances of our personalities. I know you were going to say communicate, and I agree. I was just wondering if you had any specific insights from when you and Lisa moved in together. We have the same top two love languages, quality time and physical touch.
Wow, that's a nice alignment. So yes, rules and regulations. People, so when we say communicate, it's a freakish level of communication that's like, how are you going to handle money? Who's paying what on the bills? Do you put that money into a joint account so that you know that it's there and that you don't have to worry that the person's not going to have it at the end of the month?
Well, yeah, let's actually tackle, because as you were going, like, A, you're speaking quite fast, and then B, you're kind of lumping everything together.
I would talk faster if
I
know, could.
But I know. People would listen to you at 7x. So I think there's different aspects, right? Finance.
Yep.
Critical. Okay, let's talk about finance first then.
Yeah, so I think that, what do they say, money and kids are what kills most relationships. So people end up disagreeing on how to handle it. So you've got to talk about how are you going to handle money. Now, let's get really nitty gritty. Is it going to be an absolute dollar amount or percentage of earnings? What's fair?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So things like that that people have to think through. Are you going to, when we did this, we were married. So that's maybe a little bit different, but we had a joint account and we had two separate accounts. So the joint account was for bills. And even though at the time I was the only one working, I said, look, we've come into this as a partnership. So that money is cut in half. It's 50-50. Yes, I'm the one that's going to work, but you're the CEO of Bilyeu Industries. So like you're handling everything else. And because of that, we've agreed to do that. It's not like you couldn't go out and earn money. We've decided that's how we want to structure things. So to me, it didn't make sense to be like, this is more my money than it is mm-hmm. yours. So like mentally to me, it was just exactly half. You earned your half by doing what we agreed you were going to do. And I earned my half by doing what we agreed I was going to do. And so we put that money into the joint account. Then we said, all right, X percent is for saving, X percent is for bills, and then X percent is our spending money.
By the way, I would have done percentage of earnings.
It's interesting. I've never had to think through that. I've thought far enough to be like, people have to decide, suckers. Yeah, like, yeah. Glad I'm not in that situation.
I would have done percent.
That's interesting. So do I think that's reasonable? Yeah, actually I do. So this is probably what I would do, which would end up being your way, but I would just think about it a little bit differently. I would say all of our money goes into a joint pot
mm-hmm.
and then we portion things out.
So
it's like, hey, maybe I make 60,000, you make 40,000, together we make 100,000, but it's just, we have $100,000.
Yeah.
Now, how is it doled out? Yeah. It's this much is for spending, this much is for bills, this much is for saving. And like, that's our life.
Even things like date night, like that becomes that. I know for some people, like, who pays, especially when you're not married. So like, even if that's a bucket, right, of like spending separately, so you can go off and I can spend whatever I want. You can spend your money, whatever you want. We never have to even talk to each other or tell each other anything. Then the bills for sure. But then also like date night or vacations, you know.
You have a separate account for that?
I think I would, yeah. And we would put in together so that we can together enjoy seeing that money go up. Then we go on vacation and it feels like we're both doing it versus like, oh, one of them can't afford and the other person can. And now it's just a bit awkward. Because once, at least for me, once you're making the decision to move in together, at least for me, again, I'm going to repeat, this is just for me. But if once we move
This we move in together.
What's that?
No, I was just messing with you.
For me, it's like, well, this means that I'm looking to commit with you, right? Like
looking to commit? But you move in and you're just looking to commit?
Well, I guess I'm saying, like, for instance, people may not want to get married. Now, yeah. I personally did want to get married.
Right.
So even if we moved in together, it would be like, okay, this is a big commitment. So making sure that it isn't like with one foot in and one foot out.
Yeah.
Because people can feel that as well. Like, oh, I don't quite want to like put our savings. And I actually get it.
Yeah, here's the
I
thing.
Get
if
it.
We were just dating, I definitely would not.
I wouldn't put our money together, but right. I would put a pot together for our like spending.
Like a joint savings account.
Like a joint savings for vacations.
I wouldn't because I see marriage and dating in a very old fashioned way.
So if you
which
were dating,
is,
we're living with each other.
Yeah.
It's your money's yours, my money's mine. And if we go on vacation, so think about it, I can't work. Or I'm
I just
paid
wouldn't actually
table.
Intermingle the money. So I would maybe keep a ledger and say like, hey, this is how much I'm applying towards it. Percentage of income I think is great. So, hey, this is the vacation. This is how much it's going to cost. I'm applying this much. You're applying that much.
Yeah.
It would be very known. It would be written down. Yes. We'd know exactly what was going on. I just wouldn't actually have a joint account because if I'm just dating, because this is me with the old fashioned, like I'm not going to date somebody for 9 years before we get married. I'm like, I mean, we were together for less than 2 years before
we
got married.
9 months
when
you
proposed. So that's like, to me, that was proposing was the hard part. Mm. The living together and the getting married was easy. It was just deciding whether you were the person that I wanted to spend the rest of my life. I really thought about that. So yeah, I wouldn't, if I were just dating with my old fashioned notion of dating, I would not actually intermingle money. It would just be a ledger. But so
I want to get really detailed for a second.
All right.
Like groceries.
Yeah.
What do you do? So we're dating, we're living together.
Yeah. Everything to me would be a percentage.
Okay, so we have X amount of money to spend on groceries for the week.
Yep.
Now what if I'm like, but I want a steak? And you're like, motherfucker, that's more my money than yours.
That gets a big word up.
That's
if
what I'm
you're
saying.
If you're not in alignment with stuff like that, like this is where you have to really break things down. And if you've got one person with expensive taste, like you have to come together and agree, like, this is our shopping budget, this is what we're going to buy, or because there's no right way to handle it. Or you say, you're on your own for your groceries. I'm on my own for my groceries. I have no beef with that. I'm so hardcore. Like if people wanted like separate areas in the fridge and it's like, don't fucking touch my water. You've got your water. Like I would
that's
have
so
no
dangerous.
Problem
oh,
with that.
God,
what's
that's so
clarity
bad.
Is always
100%.
Clarity always wins. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If that's how people get down. Now that isn't how you and I got down. Like for us, it was we really came together fast. The communication worked well. We didn't, because we had a long distance relationship for a lot of the beginning, we didn't have to like worry about the sort of we're living together, but we're just dating. It was like, yeah, I mean, that part was just sort of back and forth. It was always temporary housing. Yeah. So.
But I would just, yeah, I mean, really clarity. You're absolutely right there. It's like, because it's the small things that end up stacking up. And so just being uber specific and uber clear about what you're both doing and know that no way is right and no way is wrong.
Oh, so, that's a lie.
No, it's not. What do you mean? You're just saying.
You're saying as long as you're clear.
Yeah.
Okay,
so like
fair,
for instance,
fair.
You're
my
saying
apologies.
Don't ever touch my, I was going to say watermelon.
That is wonderfully specific. And seriously, don't fuck with my watermelon. Because I actually am a watermelon psycho, but.
But even, so let's say jicama, perfect. So don't touch my jicama. I'd kind of feel like that's a little mean. Like,
are you joking?
Well, no, so here's.
I can't fuck with your jicama. This is like, you're actually subconsciously giving real stories
hang
here.
On.
So we have our shelves divided
we
in our fridge.
We actually do.
And because
do.
Food is so critical for you and there's so few things you can eat,
but
I don't fuck with your olives.
No.
I once took 3 olives from you and I felt so guilty. I was like, oh God, is she going to run out? So
well, so our situation is slightly different because of my health, but there's something a little distant about saying, well, you can't have this because I bought it. Like when you move in together, you at least for me, like I would approach it like this is potentially the one that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, and to worry about sharing my food with you. If I didn't have health issues, because now I actually do worry about sharing my food with anyone. anyway, I guess it would just be like, I wouldn't, like, if you were really Nazi-like about it.
But
I
was. So remember, we would go out to a restaurant. You're like, I want some of your French fries.
That was bizarre.
And I'm like, you can't have, you can have your own French fries. I will buy you French fries right now, but you cannot have any of mine.
It still bothers me.
Because I want to eat my fries.
Yeah, it still bothers me.
But this is the thing. It's like, you get people that, like, to me, it is so crazy that you want my fries when I will happily make sure that you have your own fries.
I just wanted a couple.
Right, but like, sure, that's
I bet you how many people are listening right now. They're like, their pants with Lisa. Laughter. Or someone like, yes, Tom.
Yeah, because they all go through the same thing.
Probably all the guys are like, yes, she keeps stealing my fries. And all the women are like, I just want a couple of fries.
But this comes down to the same reason that we don't share blankets.
Yeah, we don't share blankets.
I don't fuck around with that. No, and right. I told you from the jump, homie, you can have your own blankets because I wrap that shit over my head and I'm not having you steal blankets from me in the middle of the night because fuck that, I'm getting my sleep.
That isn't the true story.
Well, the first night it wasn't. God bless you. And this I still feel terrible about knowing now how horrifying it is to be cold. But back then I was a little bit heavier and I was hot at all times. And so I had the AC blasting right on the bed and my poor then girlfriend didn't want to pull the covers away from me. So I took all the covers and then you were right under the AC. Oh, that it pains me to this day to imagine you shivering through that night. But to me, it's like, look, this is definitely a collision of values. Like you love the idea of eating fries off my plate or whatever. Not that we have fries anymore, but back then.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I ordered fries, I want to eat my fries. I want you to have fries. I don't feel I should have fries over you.
Yeah.
It's not like if we could only afford one thing of fries, then we would split them 50-50. I'd fucking count the fries if I had to. But once we divvied those out, though, you don't get some of the 49% that's in my pile.
Even now, when I see you eating, I'm like, I think I can have that. I don't think my God, it looks so good. I'm
like, I'll buy you a whole one.
But in all honesty, so going back to this whole question thing, you were at least very upfront. And I think that that's super important. And so when we say communicate, it needs to be broken down. So we dealt with finances.
People would never believe.
Even to the bed sheets. But like even the chores that you're doing in the house, like write it all down. Because if you don't, like all the way to who cleans the towels? Do we iron the towels? Like
that would be crazy.
It would,
for
the
record. If you want to, I know. But this is like where.
But that's where you have to have the conversation. Because if you don't, then one person's like, I'm the one that's always ironing. And the other person's like, but I never wanted you to iron the towels in the first place. It's like, unless you have that conversation up front, the animosity, it's like the dust settling that we talk about, it just builds up.
Yes.
You were going to say something.
Oh, I was so enthusiastically agreeing with you. Like, people would be astonished, like, the level of detail that we talk about things. Because, like, to me, that's just how it works. Because people are just not naturally going to see things the same way. The fact that your mother irons underwear to me is mental illness.
As a kid,
Diana. I love you, but ironing underwear is mental illness.
And the funny thing is, as a kid, you know what she used to, and I don't know if she remembers this, and I'm sure I'm boring everybody now, but the reason why she used to say that why she ironed underwear was if a wind blew up my skirt and somehow my knickers were being exposed, they would be ironed.
What?
I was like a young teenager as well. Like, what kind of craziness is that?
That's when you tell your daughter, wear pants. But or can I point out, by the time you sat on the underwear, they're fucking wrinkled.
Anyway.
So.
But having the discussion, here's the thing. I bet you should have the discussion with her partner. And if that's what she wants to do, then you should do it. But this is one discussion we had together where I'm like, you don't do the dishes. And you're like, I'll happily do them. But you want me to want to do the dishes, and I'll never want to do the dishes.
Shout out to The Breakup.
And
is that the movie that had that line?
Oh,
in it?
You're right. Yeah. The Breakup, yeah. You're
Which is
right.
a line that we have used over and over and over.
Yeah.
You want me to want to do
but
the dishes.
But it's very true. And it's like, okay, well, yes, I do want you to, but the reality is that you're never going to want to. But it's the fact that you do it that is important. And so if you do it, that's where the focus should be. And then, yeah, divide up chores, divide up bills, or, you know, we kind of spoke about that.
Indeed. We went down a deep rabbit hole in that finance.
I know.
But
anything
yeah.
else? Yeah.
Communicate.
Yeah. Oh, even just like deeply. The fact that you throw your socks everywhere. So that was another thing.
You have your
stuff everywhere. So what we did is we got you a box and we said, instead of you just throwing your stuff all over the house.
I love the punchline of this story,
though. You put the stuff in.
No, keep going.
You put your stuff in the box.
Yes, genius idea.
It
then
was
what
genius.
Happened?
Someone moved your box.
Someone.
It was not me.
Someone. We have a gremlin in the house moving my box. It was so funny to me that, like, I have this box. It's never to be touched as long as I put everything in there. And I'm like, this is amazing. What a great idea. I'm putting all my stuff in the box. And then my fucking box was moved. I had to laugh. It was one of those that, like, I could either go irate and, like, start hacking holes in the wall with a fire axe or just laugh. But it was like so absurd to me that even when I put it in the box,
your box
which you picked the location, then somebody moves my box. I was like, but wow.
As an idea, it was a good strategy.
Oh, it's a great strategy. Just not with you.
Yeah. All right, next question. This is from Felicia. My partner and I have been together for 18 months. Both have been married before. When we met, we both were saying how we were going to be superhumans with our crazy amounts of self-growth and our consistency to get shit done in our personal lives. But because Ben was still grieving his marriage at the start of our relationship and I was helping him heal, I feel as though I'm not living my full potential, and I feel as though I am and have been putting in more effort than I should and really receiving less in return. We have spoken and discussed different love languages, and I know this is acts of his is acts of service and mine are physical touch, words of affirmation, and occasional gift giving. Such a greedy woman, right? But he says he doesn't give me those things because he feeds from my energy, which I go through bouts of insecurity and anxiety and withdrawal at times because I feel as though I am carrying the relationship. Ben is very much a conflict avoider, and I am very much a person who wants to get to the nitty gritty to sort it all out. What do I do if I explain my insecurities to him and he makes it a negative thing? If he's not acknowledging my love language and insecurities and not making an effort to put them at ease, should I leave? How can I step back and give myself more love and attention when I'm an unselfish, constant giver?
So this is interesting. So I think that one problem when people have like major disconnects on love languages, on values, on the way that they think that they should be interacting in the world, you really do have to stop and say, is this the relationship where I want to work through all these issues? And so awesome episode with Michael Gervais where he was talking about he and his wife got to the point where they were like, his wife came to him and said, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. And they went to a therapist, and Michael was saying, like, I really want to work on this. And she was saying, I'm not sure that I do. And the therapist said, all right, before we go any farther, you have to answer one question. In any relationship, you're going to have to go through a struggle to make sure that the relationship works. Is this the relationship you want to go through that struggle? Mm-hmm. And once she said yes, then it was like, great, now we can do the work. What they have to ask themselves is this the relationship that they want to go through the struggles? Because right now they have this discrepancy in values, communication style, she's not feeling respected or heard. And if they're asking the question, like, should I leave? Then they really have to decide, is this going to be the one that we're going to work our way through? If it is, then working your way through it is precisely your job in this relationship is to communicate psychotically clearly. And then get to the point where you can make each other feel like you're number one, like you're uplifting them. They feel better about themselves when they're around you than when they're not. So you've got to look and really ask the question without guilt or shame or judgment on yourself. Am I willing to deal with this insecurity, or am I willing to deal with the fact that he's not carrying his weight? Mm. Am I willing to process through that and get to either a solution where we're working together, or is this just something I'm not invested enough in this relationship to do all of that hard work to make sure that we get on the same page? And like I've talked about this before, and I've certainly told you, the question that I had to ask myself, and thank God I did, am I willing to be with somebody who's sick this often?
Because when we got to know that it was going to be this severe,
A, and B, little did I fucking know that the sickness you kept getting back then was laying the tracks for the nightmare that we're dealing with now. But I'm so glad I processed through that before we got married. So a big part of my contingency on proposing to you was I had thought through two very difficult questions. Am I okay that this is the only person I will ever sleep with again? And if I'm not, then don't move forward. And if you are, fucking move forward with enthusiasm. Don't like hold that against them. Don't be a prick about it. Like, hey, you're going into this eyes wide open, super excited about it. You're that into them that the sacrifices you're going to make are well worth it. So that was one. The other one was you were fucking sick a lot. And so I was like, am I prepared to be a caregiver? Because that is not like whatever your... it's not a love language, but like some people are so good from a personality type, they're a caregiver. I am not. Like, that is not my shtick. And so I had to think about, is that something that even though it doesn't come naturally to me, am I so into you knowing that I will have to serve you in that way to make sure that you feel like my number one? Am I prepared to go down that path? And because I crossed that line, I was like, yes, I'm that into her. And she makes me feel that good. And we share so many things and we excite each other. And she makes me feel better about myself. And I can tell she's going to make me a better version of myself. Like everything else was so rad that I was like, yes, this is in the grand scheme of things, a pretty minor thing to have to deal with. And so it was just easy. And then once we got into it, it was like, yeah, that's just a part of my wife, for better or worse. That's something that she has to deal with and I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's very true. And I literally, that's, I'm just going to repeat what you said. I completely agree. And that's, I just don't have anything to add.
I'm going to repeat what you said.
No,
I'm not.
Yeah, it must be something. We'll leave it at that. I'm going to add one thing, actually. Don't beat yourself up for giving something a try. I can't remember what word she used.
Go on.
So she said like, oh, I'm giving too much. I can't see the question now, so I can't actually reread it. But
she was like, I'm a selfless giver, I think is what she said.
Well, she basically said, I'm giving too much. I feel like I'm carrying the relationship.
Right.
I think that you need to ask yourself, like, are you willing to? So it's kind of going back to what you said. But don't beat yourself up if you have been and now you're realizing the situation and then you decide to back out. Mm. Like, I think that's a big thing and you probably don't. That doesn't resonate with you. But that would be one thing that I know that I would do is like, fuck, I gave it so much time and energy and I could have done other things. And like, he wasn't showing like love back and I was still giving, like, I could see myself getting into that mental thing.
Are you saying don't allow yourself to be caught pot committed? The cost fallacy?
No, that if she, like, she's given more than he's giving, but there was a way that she worded this kind of like I shouldn't have done that. And I'm just projecting on how I would be. I could see myself. I would feel like I would beat myself up over, like, you've just wasted this time. He wasn't even giving anything to you. You were carrying the relationship. What a waste. And I'm just saying that, like, don't do that, that there was a waste of your own energy. I think that you gave it a shot, you went in it, you tried everything. And if you can really say that you tried everything, then I'll say, okay, I'm glad that I went in with, you know, jumped in with both feet. It didn't work out. But to spend that time regretting, like, oh my God, I carried the relationship and what a waste. I just don't think that serves you. So I just wanted to add that in case she was feeling like that, because I know I would.
It's good insight. That's it, huh?
That's it.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Keep your eyes peeled. We'll have some announcements coming up in the future. For now, thank you for all the questions. It has been absolutely amazing. We enjoy doing these.
And if you're not following us on Instagram specifically.
At Lisa Bilyeu, at Tom Bilyeu.
Yeah.
We're there. We'll see you there. All right.
All right, guys. Till next time.
Be legendary.
Be legendary.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks for always listening.